Thank you. Hallelujah. It's good to be in God's house this morning on a warm Sunday, summer Sunday. Where else would you be? Best place to be in town, right here. Hallelujah. So I want to pray over your finances, over your offering before we get into the message. You know, Jesus said kind of an amazing thing. He said a lot of amazing things, but one of the things he said is it's more blessed to give than receive. Now, how many like to receive? Come on. You know, somebody gives you a gift or they give you some extra money or buy your lunch or something like that. You know, that's fun. We enjoy that. It's a blessing to us. But Jesus said that it's actually more blessed to be on the giving end than on the receiving end. And that just goes cross-grained to our thinking. Because in our, you know, natural thinking is, if I give something away, then I have less. Isn't that right? If I give something to you, then I have less. But in God's economy, it's just the opposite. When we give, as God prompts us, he said we're going to have more. That's exactly what God said. How many have experienced that? That you really can't outgive God. Jesus said, give and it will be given back to you. Not the measure that you give, but it'll be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, God will pour back into your life. And so, it's more blessed to give for a couple reasons. One, it's just fun to bless people. And it's fun to bless the kingdom of God. It's fun to sow into the kingdom of God and know that your finances are going to help missionaries all over the world preach the gospel or just see the ministry continue here. Or just give to somebody that's in need. That's a lot of fun. But we're also blessed because we can't outgive God. We give and he just gives back. We give some more and he just gives back. Now, we don't give to get, but God said he's just going to bless us. So I just encourage you, get in the game of giving and getting blessed and receiving and just enjoying what God is doing in your life. So, Father, we just thank you for the opportunity. Lord, you've blessed us in so many ways. We are a blessed people. And, Father, we just want to participate in this thing called giving because you're a giving God. That's your nature. God so loved the world that he gave, and you gave your very best. So, Father, we want to give our best, and we can give knowing that you are going to take care of our needs, that the blessing will return to us. You're the God who is more than enough, and we just trust you that as you speak to our hearts, we're going to respond, and you're going to take care of all of our needs, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do you ever find it difficult to hear or discern God's voice? Let's say you got a decision to make, and you really need to hear God, and you want to be in the center of God's will, and so you're praying, God, I need to hear you, I need your direction, you know, show me what to do, and maybe a thought comes into your mind, and you think, well, was that God, was that the Holy Spirit, or was that just the pizza I ate late last night that's speaking to me today? Wouldn't it be amazing to know exactly what God wants for you? I mean, just imagine that you could ask God any question, and you clearly hear the answer because God is speaking to you. Well, I've got some good news. You actually can. Today we're going to look at the promise that God will speak to you. He desires to speak to you. He's giving you the ability to hear what he is saying. The title of my message is Tune In to God's Voice. And the title to me suggests that God's speaking, but it's up to us to tune in and hear what he's saying. A.W. Tozer, a great, great author of the past, Christian writer and speaker, he said this, it's the nature of God to speak. It's the nature of God to speak. God has always spoken to his people. If you go back through the scriptures, he spoke to Adam. I mean, he spoke to Abraham, Noah, Moses, Elijah, Samuel, Peter, James, John. And there's no reason to believe that God somehow has developed a bad case of laryngitis and could no longer speak. God's still speaking to his people today. Amen? Now, God is a relational God. How many know that? God's all about relationship. Christianity is just about relationship. It's about relationship with God and relationship with our brothers and sisters. And we all know that real relationship requires two-way communication. Have you ever tried talking to somebody? You get in a conversation and they do all the talking. I mean, I've been in these conversations where, I mean, literally that other person does 100% of the talking and I do 100% of the listening and I can't even get a word in edgewise. How many know you can't have a relationship with somebody that way? I mean, you can find out all kinds of things about their life and what they're going through and what they're feeling, but they absolutely know nothing about you. You can't have a relationship that way. Relationship requires two-way communication. And as God's children, we have the wonderful honor and privilege of having access to God. We have access to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords. And even though God, I mean, he's got the business of the universe to attend to, yet we have total access 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, we can come into God. Do we have that photo of JFK? Did that get loaded? There we go. This is a very famous photo. Most of you probably seen it, unless you're very young. This is when John F. Kennedy was president of the United States, and that's his son, John Jr. Now, he's in the middle of business of taking care of the country, being the president, run the country, but yet his son has access to the president of the United States simply because he is the son. He has a relationship with the man in charge. And likewise, we have access to our Heavenly Father as born again sons and daughters of God. We have the privilege of communicating with him, and we have the promise that he is going to communicate with us. Now, I realize it's not always easy to discern the voice of God out of all the voices that's speaking to us, out of all the noise that's coming our way, all the stimuli that's hitting our brains. It's not always easy to discern God's voice. And again, I think most of you are serious about walking in God's will. You want to hear God. If you've got decisions to make or you need guidance, you really want to walk in God's will. You want to hear his voice. But we don't always hear that booming voice saying, "This is the way, walk in it." You know, wouldn't that be great if every time we pray, we just hear that booming voice and God speaking to us? But how do you discern the voice of God? Sometimes over your own desires or over all the other voices that are coming your way. Well, Jesus gave us a promise, and we can count on this. He said, number one, that he will speak to us. And number two, we will be able to discern and recognize his voice. John 10, wonderful scripture about hearing God's voice. Jesus said in John 10 that he's the good shepherd and we are his sheep. I don't know if you've ever considered yourself a sheep, but metaphorically, we are sheep and Jesus is the shepherd. Psalms 100 verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture." Now let me hear your best sheep voice right now. Your best sheep sound. Somebody had a really good one right there. I don't know who that was. I mean, if I was a sheep, I'd go running. There's mama calling. Now, Jesus tells us that we can have, in John 10, the same kind of relationship that sheep have with a shepherd. And that relationship is one of trust. I mean, a sheep totally trusts a shepherd. It's one of dependency. They are absolutely, totally dependent on the shepherd, taking care of them, leading and guiding them, leading them to the green pastures, all the things the shepherds do. And in John 10, Jesus uses a very well-known scenario in the Middle East. Now, we don't see it over here, but in the Middle East, everybody would be able to relate to what this passage, this little story that Jesus talked about here. And it's really about sheep from many different flocks being put into one big sheep pen for the night. And there's one gate into the pen, and there is a gatekeeper that's paid to guard that sheep pen so that nobody or nothing comes into and messes with the sheep. And you got this gentleman that's guarding the gate and making sure that no strangers come in. And that's the analogy that Jesus uses in John 10, verse 1. He says, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber." If you don't enter by the gate, you don't have authority to be there. You shouldn't be there. Only the shepherds that are recognized by the gatekeeper can go in. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Why do they follow him? They know his voice. They recognize his voice. He's not a stranger. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus made 3 points here. Number one, his sheep hear his voice. His sheep are going to recognize when their particular shepherd, there might be other shepherds around, there's other sheep from other sheep flocks, is that what you call them? Herds or flocks? Flocks, I think, right? But they recognize their particular shepherd. My wife will generally call me several times during the week. Sometimes she needs something, needs some information, needs me to pick something up from the store. Sometimes she just calls me and says, you know, I just want to hear your voice. Isn't that nice? Husbands, eat your heart out. I don't know if your wife does that, but my wife does. She called me, I just want to hear your voice. I'm missing you. Isn't that good? And when she calls, there's something that never happens. This is what never happens. She calls, says, hi, honey, or whatever, just says, hi. And this never happens. Now, who is this? I mean, your voice sounds vaguely familiar, but I don't really reckon. That never happens. If it happens, she probably locked me out of the house for the day. I don't know. But it never happens because I recognize her voice. Why? Because I know her. I spend time with her. I communicate with her every day. And I recognize her voice. I could recognize her voice in a crowd of 300 people. I recognize her voice. In fact, when my kids were young and they played sports, my wife would be in the stands and she would, you know, want to support the kids and everything. And maybe I got there late and I'm on the other side of the field or the other side. I can pick my wife's voice out over all the other crowd yelling, you know, go get him, you know, tackle him, make 2 points, whatever it was. But I could always discern her voice. And Jesus is saying that when his sheep, us, spend time with him every day, we communicate with him, we talk with him, we listen to him, then we are going to be able to recognize his voice. Shouldn't be any confusion, really. Shouldn't be any confusion about which voice is speaking to us. God wants to get us to the place where we truly recognize and discern his voice. Second thing Jesus said is that he calls his own sheep by name. There's over 8 billion people on the planet, but did you know God knows your name? He knows your name. He knows a lot about you, actually. He knows where you live, knows everything about you. He knows that you like your oatmeal with honey and raisins on it, if you do, like I do. He knows the number of hair on your head. He knows and hears the cry of your heart when nobody, even your closest friends, hear what's going on in the inside. God hears, God knows. And he cares about everything that you're going through. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, personally wants to communicate with you. Isn't that good news? I mean, that's exciting to me. He wants to help you with your decisions. Sometimes he just wants to tell you that he loves you. The first time that I ever remember hearing the voice of God, I was 22 years old. I had recently just recommitted my life back to Christ after living like a hellion for a number of years. And I decided I need to get away from everything I knew, all my old friends, all my old habits. And so I joined the Youth with a Mission program. I went down to Southern California, Pasadena, is where they have them all over the world, but that's where I went. And one of the things they made us do was have quiet time every day. I never had a quiet time in my life. But they made us have quiet times. They want you to go find a quiet place, solitude, read your Bible, talk to God, and then listen. And so, you know, this one particular day, you know, I went, found this little cubby. I read my Bible a little bit. I talked to God and said, I just got quiet and said, Lord, they told me to talk to you and ask you to speak to me. So would you speak to me? And I got as quiet as I could. And suddenly, I heard in my mind, it was an audible voice, but I heard so clearly in my mind, David, I just want you to know that I love you. I love you. First time I had ever heard God's voice, and that's what he communicated to me. Of all the things he could have said, I just want you to know that I love you. Some other times, he wants to share about your future. He wants to tell you about things to come. Did you know that that's one of the roles of the Holy Spirit, is to talk to you about your future? He wants to prepare you for what's coming up. Listen to what the scripture says. John 16, verse 3, Jesus said, "So when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak." Listen, he will tell you things to come. The NLT says that he will talk to you about your future. Think about that. Holy Spirit knows what's coming down the pike. He knows your life from beginning to end. He knows what's coming. He knows what you need to be prepared for. And he will talk to you about those things if you will just listen. If we open our ears and listen and expect him to speak. How many know you got to expect God to speak if you're going to hear him? There has to be an expectation. God, you said it in your word, and so my ears are tuned, and I believe that you're going to speak to me. Amen? Here's the third thing Jesus said out of John 10. He said he leads them. This is what the shepherd does. He leads them. Now, in the Middle East, shepherds don't drive their sheep. In America, in the West, we drive things. We drive our cattle. We get behind them. I've been on cattle drives. I never go on one again after that one. That was a miserable experience. I mean, that's worse than herding cats. I mean, you're trying to get them going direction, and they go this way, and you go, you know, get your horse going over there and bring it back, then another one takes off, and it's just like, and their dust is coming in, you're eating dust all day long, terrible, terrible, terrible thing. Never do it. I thought it sounded like fun when Chuck Petroff invited us to go, but it was like 110 degrees that day. We ran out of water by noon. The cattle drive didn't end until 9. I would have sold my wife, my house, my kids, and everything for one glass of water. It was a terrible experience. But in the Middle East, shepherds don't drive, they lead. They lead the sheep. The sheep know their voice. And a shepherd can mix his flock, as I mentioned, with other flocks from other shepherds, maybe in a pasture, maybe at a watering hole, or maybe in a sheep pen at night. But when it's time to go, that shepherd will simply make a call, a certain call that he makes, and he calls out, and those his sheep recognize his voice, and he takes off, and they just follow. The sheep from the other flocks, they stay. They don't go because that's not their shepherd. They don't recognize his voice. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about. That we're going to hear his voice, and if we hear, we recognize it, then he's going to lead us and we can follow. Now, where is he going to lead us? Psalms 23 gives us some great insight. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." This is the result of following the good shepherd. That if you truly hear the voice of God, and you follow where he is leading, he is going to lead you into a place in your life where spiritually, mentally, emotionally, financially, relationally, in every way, you are going to lack nothing. That's what the scripture said. David wrote this, who was a shepherd himself. He had a wonderful revelation that just the way I'm a shepherd to my sheep, that the Heavenly Father is a shepherd to me, and because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means I'm not going to lack for anything. Wow. That's motivation to follow the shepherd. Amen? What else is he going to do? Where else is he going to lead us? He's going to make me lie down in green pastures. He's going to lead me beside still, calm, tranquil water. That speaks of peace. And I guarantee you that if you're following Jesus, he's always going to lead you into peace. He's never going to lead you into turmoil. He's never going to lead you into chaos. If your life is full of chaos and turmoil, it's because you're listening to the wrong voice. You're not following the good shepherd, because he's never going to lead you into that kind of life. It says, he refreshes my soul. He guides me along right paths for his name's sake. Some of you have been walking in the wrong paths so long that you are burnt out on it. You're fed up with it. I mean, it feels like you're hitting your head against a wall day after day, week after week. Your life is going nowhere. You take two steps forward and three steps back. You can never get ahead in any area of your life. You are absolutely burnt out on the inside. I can tell you why. You're following the wrong voice. If you follow Jesus, he's going to lead you in right paths, not the wrong paths, not the detours, not all the traps. He knows where the traps and the detours are and the booby traps of the enemy. And if you follow him, he's just going to lead you right around all that stuff and lead you in right paths. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, how do we hear the voice of the shepherd? I'm going to give you three steps. This is kind of an introduction. We're going to talk some more next week. But number one, you need to ask God to speak to you. I know that's simple, but that's the starting point. You need to ask God to speak to you. You know, if you have a decision to make, and we have all the time, every day, sometimes they're more serious than others, but I want to encourage you, don't just weigh the pros and the cons. Don't just, you know, I mean, those are good ideas. Benjamin Franklin said, if you got a decision, take a piece of paper, draw a line down the middle, pros, cons, write them down. The one that has more things written down, then go that way, you know? And that's good from a logical standpoint. But how many know that we need a little bit more insight than that? Because even then, we're still relying on our own natural ability or our own natural wisdom. And sometimes that just, frankly, isn't enough. We need to ask God to speak to us. God, what is your will? What are you saying to me at this juncture of my life, this decision that I need to make? I need to go this way or that way, and I just need to hear from you. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 3, there's a story that I think illustrates this. It's a young boy named Samuel. Samuel is serving in the temple with a priest named Eli. His mother was a gal named Hannah. Now, Hannah was married, but she could not have any children. And that really broke her heart. Back in these days, I mean, if you didn't have kids, that was a curse on your life. You were considered cursed if you did not have children. And so she really began to pray, and she got down on her knees crying out to God, God, I need children. Give me children. And she came to this point. She says, God, if you give me children, if you give me a son, I will dedicate that firstborn son to this, your work, to your service in the temple for the rest of his life. You can have him. And so God did, and she did. She dedicated Samuel, little Samuel, to Eli, to the work of God in the temple. And so Samuel was going about doing all the religious duties of the temple, whatever those were. But listen, he really didn't have a relationship with God. He didn't understand God's voice, couldn't discern it. How many know that religious duties are different than a relationship with God? You can be involved in all kinds of religious duty. You can come to church. You can sing the songs. You can maybe open your Bible occasionally and read and still not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's just religion. It's just going through the motions. You know, Jesus talked about a group of people that were that way. He said, you know, you prophesied in my name. You've done all these different works, all these different religious things in my name. But at the end of the day, he said, depart from me. Why? Because I never knew you. I never knew you. I never had a relationship with you. There's a difference between religion and relationship. Christianity is all about relationship. The difference between Christianity and every other world religion is relationship. How many know the Buddhists can't have a relationship with a dead guy named Buddha, you know? The Muslims can't have a relationship with whoever their founder was. What's his name? Muhammad, yeah. But we can have a relationship with a living God, a personal God. And he's not some cosmic force up there. He is a person with all the attributes of personhood. He has emotions, he has mind, he has intellect, and he desires more than any other thing. You think about that. They're the God of the universe. He created the entire, he spoke the worlds into existence, but the most important thing on his mind is this little globe called Earth and the people living on it. And we are so important to him that 2,000 years ago, he sent his son Jesus Christ to die a terrible, terrible death on a wooden cross to pay for our sins, to reconcile us back into relationship with him. Isn't that amazing? And there's nothing we can do to earn that relationship. It's called grace. And that's the other thing that Christianity has that no other religion has, and that's grace. Every other world religion, you got to earn your way into your higher powers, you know, good favor, if you're going to make it to whatever heaven that you hope to make. But in Christianity, it's all about grace. It's not the big do, it's the big done. Every other religion, it's the big do. You got to do this. But in Christianity, it's the big done. It's what's already been done for you on the cross. And we just enter in and receive that by grace. It's called the unmerited favor of God. Isn't that good? I love grace. I love favor. Hallelujah. So Samuel, back to the story, went to bed one night. Here he is about, historians believe that he was about 12 years old. And he was lying there, and God calls his name. And Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran into Eli, another room, another bedroom, thinking Eli called him. He said, "Here I am, you call me." But Eli said, "I did not call you, go back and lie down." So we went back and lay down. Verse 6, 1 Samuel chapter 3, again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call, go back and lay down." Now Samuel did not know the Lord. Listen, he did not know the Lord, did not have a relationship with him. The word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. He did not recognize the voice of God. I wonder how many times God is speaking and we just don't recognize his voice. You know, the psalmist said that the thoughts of God are like the sand of the sea. The number of the sand. Try going to the, you know, down to seaside and count the sand down there. And you get an idea of the thoughts of God. Well, I think the voice of God is about like that too. He's constantly speaking to us, but Eli did not recognize. Verse 8, a third time, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel went up to Eli and said, "Here I am, you call me." And Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went back, he lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood there calling as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And then Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." God went on to give Samuel a message about some upcoming events that were going to happen, some judgment that was going to come in the house of Eli. But the interesting thing is that Samuel went on to develop an amazing ear for hearing the voice of God. He became a powerful prophet to the nation of Israel. He was the voice of God. If you wanted to understand what God was saying, it was going to come through Samuel. He learned eventually to hear the voice of God. And we look at something like that and we think, well, God stood before him and just shouted out in a booming voice. No, I don't think so. I think God spoke to Samuel the way that he speaks to us. We're going to look at that just a minute. Likewise, I mean, you and I can learn how to tune in to the frequency of God. You know, there's many FM, AM radio frequencies that are present in this room right now. And the only thing you need to hear is a receiver. If you had a receiver and some speakers, then you could dial in to that frequency and pick up. Well, the Holy Spirit's speaking all the time. We have the receiver. If you're born again, then the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. God is a spirit. He's speaking to your spirit. We have the capacity. We have the equipment. We have the ability to hear from God. The only thing required is to tune in to the frequency. Tune into the frequency. There's a second thing we need to do. We need to first ask God to speak to us. Second, we need to listen to what he says. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know." You know, if God said that when we pray and we call to him and he will answer, I wonder how many times we miss what he's saying. I think one of the reasons we miss God's voice is because he doesn't always speak to us in the most obvious ways. I run into people all the time that are discouraged. And they say, Pastor, I pray, and I never hear God speak. I never hear God's voice. You don't have to raise your hand, but I wonder how many people are here today would fit in that category. You say, I just never hear God speak. I can never discern, it seems, the voice of God. And the problem is, many times, people put God in a box, and they expect him to speak a certain way. They expect to hear that booming voice, Charlton Heston, you know? Hear that booming voice. This is the way, walk in it. Where really, God may be speaking a lot of different ways. Or maybe they want a sign from God. They want to see a flock of, is that what you call them, a flock of geese? I'm all mixed up with my groups of animals today. We'll call them a flock. They want to see a flock of geese flying in the shape of a cross because they just prayed. They said, Lord, give me a sign, and there it is right there. Instead of the V, it's a cross. Or maybe they just want neon lights to just go off in their mind. God doesn't speak that way. Listen to what Job said. Job 33:14. It says, for God does speak. We need to get that in our hearts. We need to burn that in our spirits. God does speak. But listen, now one way and now another, though no one perceives it. I mean, I think that's the experience of most believers, unfortunately. God speaks, he's speaking, but he's speaking one way, speaking another way, and how many times do we not perceive it? You know, if you're expecting God to speak in one way and he speaks another, you're going to miss it, right? So we need to be aware of the many ways that God speaks, and we're going to cover that maybe next week or the week after, we'll see. But there's a story that illustrates this point, I think, in 1 Kings chapter 19. It's a story about a prophet named Elijah, powerful prophet. And in the story, this chapter before, he had just taken down 400 prophets of Baal. He had called fire down from heaven to consume the altar. Just a powerful man of God. But then Jezebel, who was the queen of Israel at that time, an evil, evil woman, threatened him, says, you know, the thing that you've done to these prophets of Baal, I'm going to do to you in the next 24 hours. And so Elijah got scared. He took off. He ran into the desert. And man, he was discouraged. He was discouraged. He went from the mountaintop to the valley. I mean, one day, man, he's calling down fire and wiping out the prophets. The next day, he's running from one little woman named Jezebel. And he's so discouraged. He's got, God, I just want to die. I mean, he got so depressed. I just want to die. I don't want to go on. And so God sent an angel, and the angel prepared some food for him. I think it's the first example of angel food cake ever in the world. God provided some food for him, and it was supernatural food. He ate that, and he traveled, I think it was another 40 days, until he got to a place called Mount Horeb. Now, this is the same mountain that many years before God had given Moses the Ten Commandments, very same mountain. And Elijah gets there and he goes into a cave. And I'm thinking it might be the same place where Moses, he prayed when he was on that mountain, show me your glory. And says God put him in the cleft of a rock. I think it might have been that same cave that he put him in. And God passed by and Moses saw the backside of God, saw his glory. And so here later, many years later, Elijah winds up in that same cave. He's burnt out. He's depressed. He just wants to die. And it says the word of the Lord came to him. And God speaks to him. He says, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah replied, well, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophets to death with a sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. You hear a little self-pity in that voice? By the way, self-pity is one of the most destructive emotions you can ever have. Don't give in to it. If it comes your way, reject it, run from it, do anything you can, but give in to it. It'll destroy us. Self-pity is a nasty thing. And the Lord said, go out and stand by the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And it says, there was a great and powerful wind that came and tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But listen, the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. Some versions say a still, small voice. When Elijah heard that, he pulled his cloak over his face. He went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And I can't help when I read that. The earthquake, the wind, the fire. Makes me think of the bands that I used to listen to in the 70s and 80s. There was one called Earth, Wind, and Fire. Remember that? I'm pretty sure those guys were raised in church and they got their name from this scripture right here. But listen, there was three obvious manifestations. There was a powerful wind that shattered the rocks. God wasn't in it. There was an earthquake. God wasn't in it. There was a fire. God was not speaking through those obvious manifestations. But then there was a gentle whisper. There was a still, small voice. And that's how God was speaking. And that's how God often speaks to us today. So many times I think we miss it because we're looking for those obvious ways, those obvious manifestations. God, I need a word. Send me a prophet. I need a prophetic word. Give me a prophetic word. I need a dream. I need something obvious. And God's all the time speaking to you in that still, small voice. I think our minds are so cluttered with the noise of the world that often we don't hear that. Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." How many times is God speaking to his children, just like he probably spoke to your children when they were rambunctious or just crazy and it was time to settle down, maybe time to go to bed, and what do you do? Honey, be still. I want you to be still. I want you to settle down. And I think so many times God is just saying, be still and know that I am God. Man, you're running here, you're running there, you involve so many different things, but there's never that time when you quiet yourself and settle down. And there's folks that sometimes they don't want to settle down because they don't want to hear what's on the inside. I remember my wife said before she was a Christian, she worked three jobs and was constantly on the go because she never wanted to get quiet enough to hear the emptiness on the inside that she was experiencing. And so many times we can fill our life with so many things. We can look successful on the outside. Man, we got the money, we got the job, we got the babe, man, we got everything going. But on the inside, there is an emptiness that only God can fill. There is a God-shaped void in every single human being that only God can fill. The scripture said that God has put eternity into the hearts of men and women. Eternity. There is a calling, there is a longing to connect with our Maker, our Creator, and our Savior. And we can ignore that. We can keep busy. We can keep doing stuff, chasing the American dream or whatever we're doing. But on the inside, if we get quiet enough, we're going to recognize there's an emptiness. There's a void that only God can fill. Amen? I think we need to turn down, if we're going to hear God, we need to turn down the volume of the world. We need to turn down the volume of the world. Everything's just shouting for your attention, right? Psalms 131, verse 2 in the Living Bible, David said, "I am quiet now before the Lord, just as a child who is weaned from the breast. Yes, my begging has been stilled." I love that version. David's saying, "I'm not begging. I'm not looking to you, God, for what you can give me. I'm not looking to you as a genie in a bottle. I'm going to rub it and suddenly you appear and give me everything I need." No. So I've quieted my soul. And I'm just simply listening. I'm waiting. I'm hearing. So much that God wants to communicate with us. And here's the final thing, and I'm going to end here in just a minute. We need to ask God, we need to listen, and then we need to do what God tells us to do. I know it's simple, but it's a game changer. Do what he tells you to do. And I guarantee you this, when you start hearing God, God starts speaking to you, or he's speaking to you, but when you start hearing, discerning, it's going to require some faith to obey. I wish I had a different message for you, but it's true. It's going to require faith for you to obey. It's going to require you stepping out of your little comfort zone to do what God is asking you to do. You know, I think about mother eagles they make a large nest. You ever seen them? They're huge. And the first layer is very sharp, pointed sticks. And they lay that down. And then they get some very soft material wherever they get it. And just line the whole nest with this very soft material so the little baby eaglets have a nice, comfortable place to, you know, to be in, to hang out. But when it's time for that those little eaglets to go, to leave the nest, to learn how to fly, how many know the eaglet is not designed to live in the nest for all of his life? He's designed to fly. He's designed to soar. He's designed to accomplish some things. And when it's time for the little eaglet to go, then the mother eaglet will be, or excuse me, the mother eagle will begin to pull all of that soft material out and leave those sharp sticks exposed, so it becomes very uncomfortable. And if the eaglet still doesn't go, you know what that mother eagle does? He picks them up, takes them way up in the sky, and drops them. Woo! And that little eaglet, man, he's fluttering, he's trying to fly, and if he doesn't quite make it, then the mother comes down, swoops down, picks him up, takes him up again, and drops them. What a thrill, hey? Hallelujah. And you know what? When God speaks to us, he's going to kick you out of your nest. He's going to kick you out of your comfort zone. Everything that God has ever spoken me to do is something I didn't want to do. I didn't feel like doing. I didn't feel even equipped to do. I didn't feel comfortable doing that. And I had many conversations with God about that. God, you got the wrong person. I was like Jeremiah. God called Jeremiah. He says, I've called you to be a prophet to the nation. What'd Jeremiah do? I'm too young. I don't know how to speak. I'm not equipped. God, you've got the wrong person. Just leave me alone. Leave me in my comfort zone. And God said, no. Don't say you're afraid. Don't say you can't speak. Say what I say. Bring your thoughts and your words into agreement with my words and my thoughts. God's going to kick you out of your comfort zone. But that's a good thing. Because when God gets us out of our comfort zone, then we get into real fruitful living zone. We get into fruit-bearing zone. We get into life that is exciting, the Christian life that's an adventure. That's where God wants us to live. In Luke 11:28, and I'm going to finish here in just a moment, Jesus said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Not just hear, but obey it. That's one of the keys to living a blessed Christian life, is hearing God and obeying. Someone asked David Yonggi Cho one time, who's now passed away, but at one time was the pastor of the largest church in the world with just under 1 million members. I can't imagine the headaches that he had with 1 million members. He had a large staff, of course. But someone asked him, well, many times they ask him, what's the secret to your success? He always answered the same way. I pray and I obey. I talk to God, I listen, and then I do what he tells me to do. I mean, nobody's smart enough to build a church of nearly 1 million people. I pray and I obey. James 1 verse 22 says, don't merely listen to the word, so deceive yourself. Do what it says. If you keep hearing the word of God, if you just keep coming to church on Sunday morning and hearing the word of God and never doing it, never applying it, the Bible said you're going to get yourself into deception. That's not a good place to be. Don't be just a hearer of the word, but be a doer also. Put it into action. Amen. And maybe you're here today and you're thinking, you know, it's been a very, very long time since I've heard God. I used to hear God, but I haven't heard him in a long time. Well, it might be because you didn't do the last thing that he told you to do. And if you didn't do the last thing that God told you to do, why would he feel the need to continue to speak to you? You still out there or you gone home? You got quiet in this Presbyterian church. Maybe he gave you an assignment and you didn't follow through, right? You know, there's a lot of Christians that have a lot of Bible knowledge, but they don't have a lot of obedience to follow up with that. Man, they quote scriptures all day long, but they're actually educated above their level of obedience. So maybe God has prompted you to give something to someone, you didn't do it. Or maybe prompted you to start tithing and you talked yourself out of it. Or he prompted you to confess a sin and you just didn't get around to it. Maybe he spoke to you about serving in the church in some one of the ministries or serving out in the community and you just haven't done it yet. Or he prompted you to invite someone to church. Or maybe he talked to you about forgiving somebody who's hurt you, but you're still holding on to that grudge. You know, if you haven't done the last thing that God spoke to you to do, he has no reason to continue to speak. Amen? So let me finish up by saying this. Wouldn't it be amazing if we could hear God whenever we needed to hear God? We had a decision to make. We needed some guidance, or maybe we just needed to hear the voice of God. Wouldn't it be amazing if we could hear? And the good news is that we can. Jesus gave us the promise that my sheep will know my voice, and another they will not follow. Let's stand this morning. Step one to hearing the voice of God is that you got to have a personal relationship with him. The promise that Jesus made in John 10 is for his sheep, not sheep outside of his fold, his sheep, sheep that belong to him. And if you're here today and you've never made a commitment to Jesus Christ, you've never put your faith in him to be your Lord and Savior, or maybe you're here today and maybe there was a time you could look back when you were a kid and maybe you had that relationship and now you've walked away from it. You just really haven't given God the time of day. You have no relationship with him, but something's stirring on the inside and today you want to make a recommitment or you want to make that first time commitment. I want to pray with you today. It's very simple. It's just a simple prayer where you open your heart to God and say, Jesus, I need you in my life. I need a shepherd. I need your guidance. I want a relationship with you. Jesus has already done everything that's required when he died on the cross and paid for your sins and my sins. The only thing required from us is that we put our faith in him. We believe in him. And we trust him that he's done everything required for us to have a relationship with God and make heaven our home. I don't know about you, but I mean, I love living, but I'm looking forward to heaven. Anybody here looking forward to heaven? Place with no pain, no sorrow, no tears, just immense joy in the presence of God. And I want you to have the assurance that if you were to die today, that you would go to heaven. You'd be with Christ forever. You can have that assurance. If I'm talking to anybody today, would you just raise your hand? I'll see it. God will see it. We'll say a prayer together. Anybody that you want to invite Christ in, you want to make that recommitment? I see that hand. Thank you. Anybody else? I see that hand. I see that. You know, I've been where you're at. And I remember thinking, you know, God, I'm not ready. I see that hand. Thank you. I remember thinking, I'm not ready. I kind of like being my own boss. I want to call the shots, things I want to do in life. I don't want to take the chance of you telling me to do something I don't want to do. And I lived that way for a number of years. But I'm telling you, it was an empty life. I was restless. I was empty. The best decision I ever made was to turn my life over to Jesus Christ, get out of the driver's seat and say, God, you take over. I want to live my life for you. That's the only thing that's really meaningful in life, is to live our life for Jesus Christ and to accomplish the assignment that he has for our life. God has an assignment for every person's life. Under the sound of my voice, God has an assignment for your life. Are you willing to say, God, here I am. Use me. I'm available. Anybody else want to raise your hand? I'll pray with you. I see that hand. Thank you. God's speaking to some people, working on you this morning. It does take a surrender, I guarantee you. It takes a surrender. We got to humble ourselves. Doesn't matter how smart you are. You're really not smart enough to navigate life without Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just pray. Thank you, Lord. Just say this after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross for my sins. I put my faith in Jesus today to be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of all my sins. Wipe the slate clean. Give me a new future in you. Come and live in my heart. Lead me and guide me in right paths for your name's sake. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's go. Yeah, let's give a hand for those. I'm going to invite our ministry team down, our altar ministry team. If you prayed that prayer, would you come down and talk to one of these? Or if you need prayer for anything else, come down and meet with our altar ministry team. Let them pray with you. All right. Well, Lord bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday afternoon.